This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we will be discussing how the Supreme Court in Florida stopped 1 million felons from voting. And I'll be right back. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have served the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight we're talking about how the Supreme Court in Florida just stopped 1 million Floridians from voting in November, okay? And guess how they did it. We're going back to the 1900s, people. They want to keep us back there. The Supreme Court all but guaranteed that nearly 1 million Floridians will be unable to vote in the 2020 election. Now, you know what that's about. Because of unpaid court debts in a shattering order handed down on Thursday, its decision will throw Florida's voter registration into chaos, placing a huge number of would-be voters in legal limbo and even opening them up to prosecution for casting a ballot. So if they vote anyway, they can be prosecuted. The justices have effectively permitted Florida Republicans to impose a poll tax in November. So you know what that's all about. You know they're doing everything they can to keep Donald Trump into office because they know that he's done such a poor job, but they want to keep him. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, but they like him for whatever. I don't know. I can't understand it. I cannot understand it. Florida's ex-felons have a right to vote under both the state and federal constitutions. In 2018, a super majority of residents approved a constitutional amendment that abolished, let me say that again, in 2018, a supermajority of residents approved a constitutional amendment that abolished a Jim Crow era law permanently disenfranchising convicted felons. GOP lawmakers promptly sabotaged this amendment by passing a law that compelled formerly incarcerated people to pay all fines and fees associated with their sentence. Florida imposes a mind-boggling array of fees on defendants. So it's a whole lot of them. A lot of these fees they have to pay. And they call it a mind-boggling array of fees on the defendants to fund its criminal justice system. And the new law would disenfranchise almost a million of the roughly 1.4 million voters who were poised to regain their voting rights. So we know what that's all about. We know what that's all about. So the U.S. Judge Robert Hinkle sharply limited the law's scope in May. Hinkle found that the measure abridged the right to vote on the basis of wealth in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, and that it amounted to a tax on the ballot in violation of the 24th Amendment. Now, we all know that Donald Trump does not go by the law, neither does he go by the Constitution. So I guess they say if he can do it, they can too. But it's against the law. Just as critically, over an eight-day trial, Hinkle exposed a secret that Republicans tried desperately to hide. The state has no idea how much ex-felons actually owe. It has kept few records of court debt, and those records that do exist are often inscrutable. As the judge explained, a group of well-trained, highly educated individuals, a professor specializing, and we have lost contact. Okay. A group of well-trained, highly educated individuals, a professor specializing in this field. You know what? Okay. This is really crazy. Sorry about that. But needless to say, the Republicans wanted to stop the voting. So that's exactly what they did to a million people. Do you know how that would affect the voting in Florida? These people love Trump so bad. Or so much, I guess I should say, that they are willing to do anything, even if it's illegal, so they can keep him in the White House. So there must be something that they're getting out of it. I don't know. What do you guys think that the Republicans getting out? Well, you know, other than Trump still being in office. I mean, it's like, my gosh, you know, and I guess next 4 years from now, even if he gets back in, they're going to want him in again. So, and you know that's not going to work at all. So what are we to do? Well, I don't know. But we're going to have to do a lot of praying. We're going to have to do a lot of praying. So, if you have a comment to make, what do you think about it? What do you think about it? I mean, that's in the 60s or wherever it was. It's not in 2020. It's not in 2020 that we're supposed to do that. They can't. Well, I guess they can do whatever they want to do. But I don't think that, I mean, you know, people just don't play fair. Okay, I have a caller. Caller, how you doing?
Just fine. Hello? How are you this evening, Ms. Jenny White?
Oh, I'm just fine. How are you?
Just fine. I'm hanging in there. You know what
so
is
what
interesting?
What do you think about that? Okay.
What's interesting about it is that we not only, the president that we have is not only trying to gain control of the Supreme Court, the main one, the large one.
Yes.
But he has
yes.
a lot of federal judges and judges in certain places.
That's
so
true.
Many of them in places that will back him. That's the problem. If they're looking for any way to mess over this election that's coming up, they're doing anything and everything they can. Whether it's they can stretch the law, make the Constitution say what they want. Now, my understanding was before they gave them the right to vote. You can vote.
They did.
All this. They gave them the right to vote.
Absolutely.
Now, it was a time when you're a felon, you couldn't vote. Certain jobs you can't get. You couldn't get certain educational benefits or anything by having a felon. But here they are. These people are poor because, you know, they can't get jobs, they can't get this to pay the bills in the first place, and then you deny them the right to vote. There's certain jobs, you know, that they can't get, all of this. You know, Bishop Jakes, he's worked with what he called the Tory program. In other words, he's trying to stop the inmates. When they come out, they go right back within a certain amount of years because they end up doing the
right.
same thing that they were doing just to make a living. You know, put that kind of
right.
pressure on people. It's supposed to be a real rehabilitation for them. But this is what's been happening. And when you get a felon, you know, it just limits you in every area. You're there, you're stuck there. You want to make a living. You want to go on with your life, but you can't. So they did get the chance to vote, at least that. Now they're trying to say, well, you haven't paid your fees. A lot of times a person coming out of jail, they have to pay for their stay in the jail so much by them staying in the jail, you know, being incarcerated. They have to pay so much to pay the bill off and things of that nature. Well, if you can't get a decent job to make a decent living and then pay the bill, then you're stuck with the bill. Like, for example, in Michigan, we were having so many people, they had pulled over so many people and taken their licenses, these poor people trying to work, because they hadn't paid tickets and things like that. It began to be, but it's like putting more of a burden on the poor who can't, you know, you kind of go, you need a car to get out to get a decent job outside
right.
the city area, and you can't drive because you can't get a license. If you get caught out there driving without a license, that's more on you. You don't do people like that. So they're not supposed to be taking your license quite as much, you know, and because it's hurting the poor people. They can't dig up out of the poverty that they're in because of the law. You keep putting more law, more this, more that, more unfairness on them. They're trying to pull their way out, you know. The same thing with this. Now, because of the fact they can't pay the bills, they can't get a job, they can't get this, and now you say, okay, we'll let you vote. That's not fair, you know, under the equal, everybody's equal under the law, so to speak. But then, well, we're going to put a poll tax on you. Just before they were doing, before they allowed
right.
us to vote.
The November,
and
yeah.
going back, like you said, we are going back.
But
you
know
it's
what?
It's a ploy to break down the power, you know, to to unseat this present,
that's right.
Present that we have.
But you know, and they were saying that the courts, they were saying that the courts actually kept few records of the debt, and they don't know how much the felons actually owe. So what are you supposed to do?
It's going to take some months for them to figure that out and to give them what they're supposed to pay. But meanwhile, you don't have the records, but you're saying we're not going to let you go because we know you owe something. We're going to tell you what you owe because we don't really know what you owe. So therefore,
yeah,
you know, it's six in one, half dozen the other. That's
you
what
know,
they're doing.
It should be an attorney somewhere who could take up that kind of, you know, wrongdoing, for want
of
another word.
Yeah, the NAACP should be looking into it. You know,
yes, absolutely, because you know who the felons are, don't you? You know who the felons are.
Definitely.
And we maybe have two white people.
Yeah,
and
basically, we know what it is, yeah.
99,000 black folks,
yeah,
or people of color, black and brown. So they don't want, they're loving Trump to get out of office. And like I heard one of the evangelicals who was talking in an interview, and he said that it's not that they like him so much now, but it's the fact that they know if they stop supporting him, that he would throw them under the bus.
That's true.
They want, yes, they know him. They know exactly what he would do if they turned on him. And they're getting something out of it, too. They want another conservative Supreme Court
judge. They want a
judge.
More conservative Supreme Court, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
More conservative,
yes,
Supreme,
absolutely.
Court.
So, you know, they got a kiss behind.
It's back in all this. Any way you can, because their population has dwindled.
What is that? Is that called... giving up
sin.
Your integrity? Is that giving up your integrity? What is that? What do you call
sin
that?
Sin.
Yes,
that's
they
the
have.
That's
the whole thing.
Survival.
That's why everybody on that Republican, you know, ticket is willing to do whatever they can to suck up to him, so they can stay in their positions. Now, from what I heard, I think it's Mitch McConnell, because he's up for a vote, and he and this other guy have the same amount of percentage. I think it was 46. They both have 46. So I'm hoping beyond hope, because Mitch McConnell is probably the president. I mean, Trump has the title. But he knows absolutely. I would bet, if I had $1 million, but I would bet $1 million that he has not even read the Constitution. He likes to do what he wants to do. That's the only thing that's important to him. And from what I heard, he has, I'm trying to think now, is it an aunt? Or I don't think it's a sister, but it's a female relative that has written a book.
I think it's his niece. I think he's talking about a niece. Yeah.
Is that his niece? I know it's somebody in his family. Okay.
I think it's his niece.
Okay.
He has sold almost a million books. What, 950,000? What?
She sold how many?
That's what I think those are the figures I saw this morning. 950,000 books. On the
already?
That's my understanding.
Well, see, nobody knows about Trump. He doesn't say anything about himself. And he, from what I understand, he tried to get his brother to stop her. So it might have been his brother's daughter, maybe, if that's his niece. but he was trying to get him to stop her so she wouldn't put the book out there. And they say he has said nothing. And I would like to, just kind of skim it, because they say he says nothing about his childhood or anything. Nothing, you know. I didn't even know he had an older brother. So, I mean, it is what it is. But everybody will know about the book in a minute if they don't already know now. But what I'm talking about is we need 50,000 or 500,000 of those million people being able to vote. But if they don't know how much they can charge, the courts can charge them any amount of money because they haven't kept a tab.
The records, right. More of a staff in order to try to go through all the records to find out what these people owe. So you can see it wasn't high on their priority list. It wasn't high on their priority list. It just didn't tell,
But I think an attorney do something about that?
An attorney had to go before the Michigan legislature to fight the fact they were taking so many poor people's licenses here in Michigan. And they got something overturned. They put a stop to it. The attorney can. What about the NAACP? What are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
Are we marching still?
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't either. They said a group of well-trained, highly educated individuals, a professor specializing in this field with a team of doctoral candidates from a major research university, made diligent efforts over a long period to obtain court debt information on 153 randomly selected felons. They found that information was often unavailable over the internet or by telephone, and that remarkably, there were inconsistencies in the available information for all but three of the 153 individuals.
They shouldn't hold them accountable for. It's wrong to hold them accountable for something that you don't know that they should be held accountable for.
Florida has no intention to figure out how much ex-felons owe. They're not going to help them. They don't know. They're not going back to scratch up those amounts.
But then you shouldn't be.
They should not agree. They shouldn't be holding that against them.
What are you holding against them? In other words, you're saying they committed murder, but ain't nobody. Ain't no evidence. Ain't no nothing. That's what it's saying.
Oh, that's a good one.
You're here for first degree murder, but we ain't got nobody. We ain't got no evidence. We're going to still hold you accountable for it.
I bet you they will still put them under the rug, even so you didn't have a body. If you did murder, you did murder. They'll make up somebody.
Yeah. This is what they're doing, to make them pay.
Right.
We know you got one.
Right. The Division of Elections. Election screens all voter registrations for felony convictions and now unpaid fines and fees. But a state budget analysis found that the division would require at least 21 extra employees to screen the flood of applicants in light of Amendment 4. And the legislature provided it with zero. As a result, there's currently a backlog of about 85,000 pending voter registrations from newly eligible Floridians. Director of the Division of Elections, Maria Matthews, estimated that her office would need 1,491 days to get through the backlog if her entire staff worked weekends and holidays. Then it might be finished in time for the 2024 election. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. To remedy this injustice, he issued an injunction allowing ex-felons to vote unless the state could prove they had outstanding court debt. He also let them vote if the state somehow made this showing, but ex-felons lack the means to pay off that debt.
Because they can't get a decent job. They can't get anything to do anything with. So they go back to selling drugs. They go back to, you know, to make some quick money. They go back to doing what they used to do and just always make some living.
Selling drugs. Selling drugs and whatever else. And on July 1st, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals swept away Hinkle's injunction in an extremely rare and suspicious maneuver because President Donald Trump flipped the 11th Circuit in 2019. It now contains a conservative majority hostile toward voting rights. So you know why he put all those crooked judges in there. The court immediately took the case on en banc, bypassing the usual three-judge panel. A progressive panel might have upheld the rights of formerly incarcerated Floridian voters. A three-judge panel had upheld Hinkle's earlier decision, blocking the law before trial. Moreover, three Trump appointees on the 11th Circuit have serious conflicts of interest. Two, Robert Luck and Barbara Lagoa, sat on the Florida Supreme Court when it heard arguments in a case about this exact law. Another, Andrew Brasher, defended an Alabama law that is extremely similar to Florida's and raises identical constitutional questions. So it's a mess. It's a, you know, and they're not keeping records. Well, what happened to the person that sits in there doing all the typing about what they're saying? There's got to be somebody there that's keeping up, you know, how much these people owe. But they should not have to pay a poll tax in order to vote. That's, oh my gosh, that's
$1,900.
No, I'm saying 19 in the years.
Oh, okay.
19 somewhat. Okay. I mean, how are you going to do that? That makes no sense to me. You don't know how much I owe, but you tell me I owe you. Well, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. You can't prove I owe you because there's nothing down there written down. But you say I can't vote. Well, that's one way of doing it, I tell you. And another way is having to pay a postal carrier to change the votes of the people that have mailed their ballots in.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure that he was a person of color. He said it was just a joke. Just a joke. He's changing what was said Republican. I mean, what was Democrat. He changed it to Republican. Now what my question is, how do you do that on a mail-in ballot? Do you scratch it out? Do you erase it? How do you, it's got to be another way that they could prepare these mail-in voters' forms that wouldn't be so easy to change. Okay, so they found him doing that. So what do they do about the ballots now? What happens to the ballots now?
That's interesting.
Yeah, do they go back to the people or not? Now, that's That's against the law.
Yeah, it might be federal.
He should be in the jail. In jail. But how much money would you have to be given to do something like that? Knowing, number one, it's against the law and you can go to jail. And plus, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Oh, man, I'll give you $5,000. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. $5,000? That's not going to get you out of jail. It's not going to get you a good attorney. So why do we do things without thinking? He said it was a joke. So now, okay, if we believe that, what does that mean? Does that mean we're supposed to let you go?
They're not.
You said, no, they're not going to do it. And I don't blame them. So, I mean, you know, it was a joke. Okay. Well, we're going to see how this worked out. So we have one judge, Andrew Brasher, who defended an Alabama law, and he participated in the decision to lift Hinkle's injunction. Brasher was too new to participate. He assumed office a day prior, but was given no indication that he will recuse himself from the case moving forward. The Supreme Court blessed this chicanery on Thursday by refusing to reinstate Hinkle's injunction without bothering to explain its reasoning. Its decision prompted Justice Sonia Sotomayor to write an incandescent dissent, joined by Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Alina Kagan. Justices are not obligated to note their dissents from orders, so it is unclear whether Justice Stephen Breyer dissented as well. Sotomayor noted that the court had prevented thousands of otherwise eligible simply because they are poor, eligible voters from participating in Florida's primary election simply because they are poor. Nearly a million people will be barred from voting because of Florida's alleged wealth discrimination, inscrutable processes, and tax. So I guess they can't seem to do anything about it. They can't seem to be able to do anything about it. And they don't want to. And Sotomayor and Ginsburg, I am so hoping that that lady keeps her mind, that she keeps her health. I mean, I understand she's back having to do chemo. She's had a really rough ride, but she says she's going to stay on the Supreme Court. And I'm hoping beyond hope that she does as well. I really do, because if she leaves that court, then Trump is going to put another conservative in there. And it's going to be really hard to get a decent vote out of there. I'm surprised, though, that they held up the vote about the gay people. Everybody was surprised about that. So I don't know. But talking about the felons, I guess that's the end of that.
Not necessarily.
Well, they said there's very little chance that they will be able to decide the case before voter registration for the general election ends. Yep. So the Supreme Court has ensured that a large portion of the state's ex-felons cannot cast a ballot in November without fear of prosecution. They said if you vote anyway, you can be prosecuted. In her dissent, Sotomayor bemoaned the colleague's trend of condoning disfranchisement. The justices are not just condoning voter suppression, they're actively facilitating it. So they're going to do that, and I know the people are really upset, but there's not going to be anything they're going to do. I wonder, though, if they did vote anyway, they said they were going to put them back in jail. But I wonder if, well, I guess they could have someone to kind of track that. But a million people, do you really think they're going to have somebody tracking a million people to find out which one of them or which ones voted anyway?
They might want to compare their names to ballots and probably discard those ballots. They might do that.
Yeah, but who's going to do that? I mean, all the ballots coming in, and you're going to find John Jr.'s?
A million names.
That's what I'm saying. I just tell you they needed over 1,500 people to figure out how much they owed. Now, it's a million people, and they only have 10 people working. Some people not looking for those felons. I don't know, but I guess, you know, if you've been in there, you don't want to go back. So, but you were saying that they can't find jobs, so they end up going back anyway.
Most felons have a hard time finding a job, so they can support themselves. Very difficult, very difficult.
I know. Well,
to pay the stuff off, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to turn the page right now, and we're going to talk about reparations. Something that I was told that is owed to us, we're supposed to have inheritance. That others have gotten reparations, and some of them have, but from what I understand, the slaves were supposed to get the reparations after the Civil War.
Before they could get a mule, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing that all my life.
Get a mule.
Yeah, some kind of, wasn't it land and a mule or something?
48 acres and a mule, that's what it was. Yeah. 48 acres.
What was it? Yes. 48 acres
and a mule, something like that.
And a mule.
That was the name of that bill that the late Congressman Conyers put in.
Oh. 40 acres and a bill?
Yeah, that was the bill. 40 acres and a mule. 40 acres and a mule. Yeah, 40 acres.
Well, I'm assuming it didn't go through.
And he asked that they do a study on the effects of slavery on the African American community. He asked for a study on that also. I don't know if someone put it back in, but I was looking at places where they have, and it's the strangest thing, like for the Japanese during World War II, when we Japan, they bombed Pearl Harbor. Franklin Roosevelt, what he did was he said and made an executive order and pulled all the Japanese people up out of the land and put them in these internment camps. And they went, you know, they didn't give a hard time, you know. You see, it affected their lives. These were Japanese American citizens. They went anyway, and it was hard on them. A lot of them, you know, went into service. A lot of the men went into service to fight for this country too, because this was the seat. This is our country too. We're fighting for. They fought in Germany. You know, if you know the story of the Karate Kid with Ralph. Pat Morita, same Mr. Miyagi, he talks about what happened. While he was there out in Germany fighting, he was going up, and they called that the suicide group that they were in, because right. they would risk their lives to prove that they were a part of the American culture and they were for the Americans. And he gets this letter saying that his wife and his baby died in childbirth. Because there was no doctor to help them out, you know. So anyway, after they're let out, you know, after the war, they let them out. But then they were going to say something about what happened to them, because a lot of them, they lost their businesses. You know, just a lot of things happened to them. But they believed that, I was looking it up, and they were believing that generation from 19, born from 1910 to 1930, who came over, the immigrants, they said, we'll just leave it alone, just we just suck it up, what happened to us, and we'll make the best of it. That's what their attitude was. The next generation wanted to say something about what happened, but they said, no, let's just, you know, we persevered and just don't say anything. But the third generation of the Japanese Americans, they said, hey, uh-uh. And it took place, I get really sick of seeing it, it took place on the heels of our civil rights movement. But they started, it was called the Japanese American Citizens League or something like that. But the guy who was, he was a baby when all that happened, when he went to the internment camp. And he and his wife started it. And they started it after it was 6 decades, but I think it was in 1975 or something like that. That they gave them, they gave them reparations of $20,000 apiece for all the survivors that came out of that. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
They gave them $20,000 apiece. They said because of, you know, it was, and guess who signed the bill? Former President Ronald Reagan. You know, he was a hard nose. He signed it and gave them all the survivors. Gave them $20,000 for it. But that was on the backs of our civil rights movement. Okay, then I was looking at the thing with Rosewood back in 1921, Rosewood, Florida, when this white woman complained about, she came looking for this black man who supposedly bothered this white woman, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And 6 black people and 2 whites were killed. And then they burned all their houses, their stores, their just burned up everything. Well, then they finally got something together. But I can't find my paper. But in 19, they finally gave them $2.1 million. And they said they were given this because of the failure of the county to go and protect their black citizens. So they gave them $2.1 million at that time and for the survivors. Then it turned around, the 1.5 went to the survivors. The 500,000 went to the property owners, of course, to the community. Then $100,000 was laid aside for college scholarships for the young people who wanted to go to college. That's what they did. It came up to about $2.1 million. I was looking for in Germany. I was looking at that to see if the Germans paid reparations to the Jews for the Holocaust. And it's my understanding that they laid aside money for them, that through Israel and West Germany signed a bill where they had paid about $89 billion to this, up to a certain point. And every year they go over and look and they'll expand it for the Holocaust people who suffered. The property damage and things of that nature. They also had to take care of other groups that suffered also, with $89 billion to that point. And they're still going. My understanding, it sounds like it still might be going on even now. to the Jewish population and to other entities. Like a lot of the governments, they wanted about $320 billion paid because they had to come in and fight this war, to, you know, put you in your place, so to speak. Adding on to what, when they had to fight World War One, to the Germans, when that's when Kaiser Wilhelm was in power and started World War One. All of this is going on. But they did come out. But then I was looking at that Oklahoma City bombing when we had our Black Wall Street.
Yes.
So what they're saying now, that nothing has, what I gather, nothing has been paid because they said there's a statute of limitation. That happened in 1921. And so they were saying, well, you know, it's been a long time. No one was held accountable. Although they dropped bombs on them. They killed a lot of people. There were massive graves and things of that nature. I think there were about 10 buildings still standing. They wanted to just tear that down, but the people fought to keep it because they had their own Wall Street. They had houses with running water facilities. You know, they were modern. It was a very modern piece of Greenwood, called Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But to date, they haven't received anything. And now they're saying, well, there's a statute of limitations. But
They're not going to.
Yeah, find some reason. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the Japanese did get something, yeah. On the back, it seems like everybody prospers off of the civil rights movement that we started, that we gave our
everybody
lives.
Everybody but us.
That's true. Now, someone was saying they were thinking about $4.7 trillion in reparations, too, because of the enslavement. But that's being tossed around, you know, like they're giving us something, you know. But it's sad to see this, you know. We still have not gotten anything. You know, and it's just not people giving you something. It's a part of the, they destroyed lives. Even after the emancipation took effect, they found a way to put you back in a subservient position because the South needed that type of labor in order to build the South up. And that compromise of 1877, when a lot of black people were doing very well. They were, you know, they were legislators. They were this, all them, you know, they couldn't stand that. And Lincoln had told a group of black clergymen and lawyers in the North, he said he wanted to take the black people and put them, I think, on the Isle of Grenada or something. You're going to have your own. And they said, well, wait a minute, why should we do that? We built this country up. This is wrong. Why are you putting us out? He said, because you will never be accepted as equals with these white people. They said, no, as long as we don't have to do for them, we can take care of our own, and they did. We were prospering during that's the period of Reconstruction. We were doing that. There was no such thing as people lazy. They worked their little farms and all of this and businesses, and they taught themselves to read and all of this. They were doing very well. But then the big problem that they always do is that they were the compromise of 1877, when there was a question of who was going to be president, they made this and they said, okay, you want to be president, we'll give you the presidency, but what we want you to do is pull all the Northern troops out of the South. There's no protection. And that's when they changed everything. And then they turned their backs and let the Southerners do what they wanted with the black population. That's the whole thing. A lot of people tried to pull out of the South. But they needed that cheap labor to build it up again. That's what they needed. So it's more than just reparations. You're dealing with people's lives, people's hopes and dreams and things of that nature. And now you just
says it's against the Constitution for him not to have a slave. How about that? So they're not going to try to give black people anything.
They're not giving. We do have a right to have. To me, I was thinking about reparations for a long time, but then I said, wait a minute. These people worked. To me, the Egyptian enslavement of the Jews shows me what we should be, what it gives you a different look at what things should be. My thing is, in 1619, they brought slaves here, and they started working. I feel that we have a right to get our fair share of what the wealth that this country produced based on that effective 1619 to present. I'm not talking about no reparations. What our fair share of the profits that went into it because of our enslavement. We built this country up. We did this. We made it possible for everybody to come here and to get if they put their feet in American soil, everybody knows what America's about.
Yeah, but you know
but
what?
We built this country. We did it. We did it. To me, it's effective 1619. And our 400 years was up last year. That was in 2019. That's 400 years and counting. And that's the way that I see it. Reparations, no. Our fair share
of
the wealth.
Look at what's being done in America now. You see how children are being separated from their parents.
They're doing
and
it. They
want to. They want to send the dreamers, children that have come to America when they were babies.
Yeah. They
stopped.
They were born here. Yeah.
You
she
want
to
send
them home.
You want to send them home. Where is home? Home is where they are. But then you got
here.
A ton of kids laying on a cement floor, you know, who will never again know their parents. And the parents won't know the children because the children have grown up somewhat. Children change. So,
that is true.
You know, people will, you know, America's not so much the big white hope that it used to be. Right now, we're not looking that good. And you know, when all these people from different countries, you know, I'll go to America and go to school and I'll do this and do that in America, America, you know, they have democracy in America. Well, something happened to America. And I don't think those people will be as eager to come over to America. Like
what I'm learning
to.
Is a lot of this, they had a special on Chinese American, I mean Chinese people coming to America for education. Usually they would come here and get their education and stay. Now, since China is building up, you know, that's our biggest debtor.
They're
building
they're going
up
back.
And they're going back home to build it
yeah.
up. And this one minister was saying, I wonder how China is going to do now that it's becoming more capitalistic. More capitalistic.
Well,
how
are
they going to handle it?
I don't know.
Power
because we're slipping. We have
yeah.
slipped. We got one man in the White House that knows nothing about a constitution. He only knows what he wants, and he wants what he wants. And then you got somebody else from record committee or whatever, Kanye West. He wants to run. I don't think he's not going to win, but I don't think he necessarily wants to run to win. I think he wants to run so that his buddy will be able to stay in office if he can take votes from Vice President Biden.
Yeah.
So, and then when the man turned girl said that he wanted to be his Vice President, you know, so out of that Kardashian family, the guy that used to be a guy, but now he's a girl. I don't know.
He wants.
Yeah.
He wants.
I don't know his new name.
I don't even
but,
know. I just want to know. That's what he's for, too.
Yes. But I don't know his other name, but he wants to be vice president. So I don't know about him and his role in politics, but I mean, can you see us having a real world with Kanye West as a president?
Tell him to go take his medicine. I'm gonna take mine.
That's cold, but I like it. Okay, I love that. So, did you have something that you wanted to leave us with?
That's all. But you know, one thing I get upset over, and I just have to calm myself down. We as African Americans have done so much, not only for the United States. We have built this country up through our bodies, our suffering, everything. Dreams, broken dreams, hopes, marriage, broken families, all of this. We built this country
That's
up.
True.
We built a solid, strong foundation. They were using us even as on loans for loans they got from the bank. They go, how many slaves do you want and you know to hold this loan for you? And all this stuff. We did all of that with our bodies, with our lives. And we built it up where people from all over the world could come here. One person
yeah.
who has really benefited from us is the Jewish population. We were here so that built it up so fast and so rich and so powerful that we were able to back the Jews as they tried, when they tried going back into the nation, building up their nation of Israel again in 1948. They had some place to come because they were testing it all over Europe and Asia. All of, after all the war and everything, they could come here. That story sitting on the roof tells you what was happening to them, you know. They could come here, come to America, because the slaves had built it up. In my understanding, a Jewish man, I don't know if he helped, I don't know if he helped Washington out, but he went broke, putting his money in this country to build it up so that the Jews would have a place to come, because the slaves had made it that just that way, you know, helped them win the Revolutionary War and things like that. He did.
Yeah,
so
but
we built a foundation.
What happened to the Native Americans?
The Native Americans,
yeah.
Them? Yeah. All
and they,
this they could run off. We could run. We couldn't identify ourselves because they, you know, can the Ethiopian change his color? No, you can't. Forget it. You know, one of them deals. But we just did that, and we have been a blessing not only to the world, the Jews, but the world at large. People came here to get something.
But they only want to use us. They only want to use us.
And then abuse you, yeah, and then ignore
yeah.
you. Like it's not,
yeah.
it is. But they every
yeah.
time they want to do something, they remove the protection that we're supposed to have. Equal protection under the law, we don't have that. We don't have that at all. Equal protection under the law. They removed it again. They found a way to make us vulnerable. And that has to stop. Our children,
I agree. I agree, yes.
And that's all, Miss. I didn't mean to dominate tonight.
No, you
but
did. It's just fine. Just fine.
I didn't mean to dominate.
You did fine. Thank you. And what the last thing I'd like to leave everyone with is sometimes what you're most afraid of doing is the very thing that will set you free. So with having said that, I'll say have a great weekend, wear your mask, wash your hands, and do your 6 feet apart social distancing. And with that, I'll say good evening. This
good
has
evening.
Been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.